Ghost filled and fire baptized. Amen. That's a good Pentecostal saying right there. And how many's Pentecostal tonight? Man, that's good. That's good. How many? I don't know. I don't think I've ever done this before, but how many remembers the term holy roller? There we go. I don't think, if memory serves me correct, I don't think I've ever rolled across the floor, but I have heard the stories, and I have seen it happen a few times. And one of the stories I do remember about it is Brother Danny Sweeney used to preach some revivals for us, and he was testifying about his dad, and they came to youth camp, and power of God was moving, and he was feeling the Spirit, and God told him to get down and roll on the floor. And this wasn't one of these youth camps that we have today. This is one of those youth camps that happen out underneath those outdoor tabernacles with the old just grass was the floor. And they had one of those tent revivals just outside of town last week. And he had just bought a new suit. God spoke to him. He said, I want you to roll across the floor. And he said, but God, I just got a new suit. I know most of us probably have several suits hanging in the closet. And new suit's not really that big a deal. But back during those times, a suit was, that was your Sunday best. Generally, you didn't have too many of them. I got several hanging in my closet I can't even fit in anymore. Probably need to gift those to somebody else. God dealt with him and said, you need to roll across that. God asked me a question. He said, you claim to be a holy roller. What are you going to do? He got down and he began to roll across that floor. He said, by halfway across that floor, he said, I remember anything anymore. Power of God hit him. He ended up underneath the stage, rolling around in the dirt. And God did a work in him that night. I told you that story just for one reason. Are you willing to do whatever God asks? That song that we just sang, I don't remember which missionary it was, but he used to talk about them dangerous songs. And that's one of them dangerous songs, because if you really begin to take what we just sung to heart, it will totally turn you inside out and empty you of all self. And the only thing that's left to be filled up is for the Holy Ghost to fill my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. That's just the warm-up. That's just a test to see how your response is and if I need to get loud or quiet or no, I'm just teasing with you. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we're headed to verse number 9 this evening. I like this portion of scripture. I know I've preached here for several times, but just felt the Lord laying it on my heart again. Just going to preach in a little bit different fashion, though, than I've ever preached it before. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, Thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And there's an exclamation point on that. And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, that's been with us all this Lord's day. I thank you to God for every song that's been sung, Lord, and every testimony and everything that's led up to this moment. Dear God, I pray that you'll anoint me, Lord, to minister the message you've laid on my heart. I pray to God you'll edify our hearts tonight, Lord. Continue to draw us closer to you, Lord. And I pray to God, do a work to God within our hearts. Meet us in these altars. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I just want to preach on just a simple thought this evening. and hopefully a simple time we shall see. I just want to preach on the blessing. The blessing. There's two very significant things within the Old Testament that carried a lot of weight and meaning. And those two things were, number one, names. And number two, blessings. Within the Old Testament, those things carried a lot of weight. As we begin to read here about Jabez, and we begin to read this account of him, and you find that this is the only portion of Scripture that really deals with Jabez or says much about him. But we begin to find that his name, his mother named him Jabez, which means sorrow. Now, my mom tells me that when I came into this world, there was a lot of sorrow involved. And I, for some reason, I just didn't want to come into this world. And I don't remember how many hours it was, but it was a long, long time before I made my way into this world. And she couldn't name me Jabez, because it wasn't a very happy time. Instead, she named me Jason, and that means the healer. You know, nowadays, we don't we don't really put a lot of meaning to names based or when we begin to pick a name, we don't really pick a name anymore based on what it means. We pick a name, hopefully, that nobody else has named their kid. Remember when we was naming our kids, there's a whole A to Z book to name your kids. And it's just full of all kinds of names. And when you're trying to pick the name for your kid, you're going through there and you're like, oh man, I love that one. Oh no, so-and-so has a kid named that. Can't name him that. We named Titus, Titus. How many Tituses do you know? Not too many. Hey, we found that one in the Word of God. He says two. Who's the other one? Oh, there's another Titus at Trevor's church. There we go. But back in Bible times, they began to put names with things that they felt. It carried meaning. Now, Sister Sarah, you know what Sarah means? Princess. Yeah. She's moved past princess. It's the queen now. She rules the household. You know what I am? I'm just the pauper that pays the bills. No one's teasing. But as she named him Jabez, and she says, because I bear him with sorrow. Think of taking a name and bearing that for the rest of your life. Maybe Jabez, he had some brothers. Maybe when he showed up at family time and Jabez walked in, they didn't call him Jabez. They said, oh, here comes Mama's sorrow. I kind of begin to read through the lines here on this story because there was a reason why Jabez desired a blessing. And I can guarantee you part of it had to do with the fact that everywhere Jabez went, the thing that he was remembered for, that he carried around with him through his life, was the fact that everywhere he went, it was sorrow. He carried sorrow around. Now, if you go reading through the genealogies and you get into all those names, you know, that you can't pronounce, and you start reading through those growing up, there's always the funny name in there that the kids always think is hilarious. There's a guy named in there, and his name's Peleg. And you know why he was named that? Because in those days, the earth was divided. Think about carrying a name around like that. There's another guy in the Bible, and his name is Ish-Babinob. His mom hated him. I don't even know what it means. It didn't matter, because he was a giant so big, anybody that made fun of Ish-Babinob, guess what? He just squashed him. Until one day he met David's mighty men. And somebody had a bigger name than him, Brother Larry. I'm teasing with you just a little bit. But I'm bringing a point home here. Jabez meant sorrow. And as he began to grow up and as he began to go through his life, his name began to shape him, is what I'm gathering from this. And as he began to grow, we began to find that he began to also have a name, that he was more honorable than his brethren. He was Jabez, and his mom said, because he was sorrowful, I did not enjoy bringing him into the world, to become a more honorable than his brethren. Something began to drive Jabez to begin to be better than his brothers. Could it be to the fact that Jabez kind of started behind maybe his brothers because of who he was? And honestly, he didn't have anything to do with his name. Somebody else gave Jabez his name. But it was a name that he had to carry. That when anybody looked at him, they remembered why his mama named him Jabez. But at some point in time in his life, we begin to find that Jabez began to be more honorable and become the most honorable person in his family. And he began to be driven to be more. Which began to lead him to the second thing. Blessings. Now, if you were not the firstborn in your family in the Old Testament time, you didn't get the first blessing. And in that day and time, the birthright, whoever was oldest, got the best blessing. Sorry, sis. We begin to find that Jacob deceived his father, and Esau sold out his birthright, all for one thing, a blessing. Now, you're thinking in today's day and time, you know, a blessing doesn't mean anything. You ask that every day over the meal. You know, can we ask the blessing? And we pray a little premeditated prayer that we normally pray over every meal. And blessings don't mean what they used to mean. But we begin to find that people fought for blessings in the Old Testament. People deceived for blessings in the Old Testament. People killed for blessings in the Old Testament. When they brought Ephraim and Manasseh to Jacob, and he blessed them, Joseph got all upset because he crossed his arms. Manasseh was the oldest, Ephraim was the youngest, which meant Manasseh was on the right, Ephraim was on the left. But instead, the blessing, he crossed his arms. And the younger got the elder's blessing. And Joseph was upset about it. He said, Dad, you're too old and senile. You just don't have it together. Why? Because it was important. The blessing was important. So here's Jabez, and I'm gathering that he wasn't the firstborn in his family. And by the time that the blessings got doled out, there wasn't a lot of blessing left for Jabez. But Jabez says, you know what? I'm carrying a name around that means sorrow. I've been working harder than anybody else has been working. I've been paying my tithes. I've been going to church. I'm being more honorable than my brethren. Surely, there's got to be a blessing somewhere for me. And so we begin to find that he didn't go to mama. He didn't go to papa. He went straight to God the Father. And somewhere along the way, Jabez got down on his knees, whether it was at home or whether it was in the house of God, we do not know. But he begins to call out on God and he says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. There wasn't a blessing to be had for Jabez, save that which came from above. And Jabez began to realize that if there was going to be a blessing for him, it was going to have to come from above. And he says, enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Jabez, the guy that was known for sorrow, the guy who was carrying around something that wasn't his fault. But somewhere along the way, society had dictated it was his fault. Begin to understand that in order for him to be more than what his name was, he had to have a blessing that overrode the name. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's kind of an ugly list, isn't it? Do you ever read that list and you just kind of cringe at all the names that are listed there? Why? Because we know that this is sin. This is Satan's way. This is sin's way. This is what those that serve themselves, this is the lifestyles that they live. And we say, well, thank God, I'm a Christian. Well, can we read? And such were some of you. Such were some of you. Now, I made a statement earlier that I've been in a lot of church. And guess what? I have. Mom took me to church when I was little bitty, like just several weeks old. And I've been in church ever since. One of those PKs. How many's had a bad experience with a PK? Don't raise your hand. One of those PKs. I've been in a lot of church services. I've heard a lot of messages. I don't know if I've listened to a lot of messages, but I have heard. They have been in one ear and probably most of the time right out the other. I've sat under great men of God. There's been people that sat at our dinner table at home that were great men and women of God. But you know what? There came a time in this PK's life where I had to realize that I was just a dirty old rebellious preacher's kid that needed to get saved. And the name that I carried throughout most of my growing up years, and I still kind of carry it, is Brother Pepper's Boy. People didn't even really, sometimes they didn't even know my name. It didn't matter. You was just Brother Pepper's boy. Or you was Brother and Sister Pepper's daughter. Or could the Pepper family come and see? You know? You'll get tied to a name. This is what I'm getting after, church. You become tied to a name by who you associate with. You know what? I didn't have a choice to be born into the Pepper family. That was determined before time. There's people set in this congregation that you come from places that you still are somewhat tied to. And sometimes there's names that we carry around from our past that we're still tied to. And sometimes there's things that we have experienced and things that we have done in our past that we are still tied to. And what I begin to find is that If we allow that name to determine who we are going to be, you will always be what your name was. As Paul began to write to the church at Corinth, he said, there's people sitting among you that you were the vilest of sinners. There's people sitting in your church there that you used to be the town drunk. There's somebody sitting there in your congregation that you used to be the extortioner. You were the fornicator. You were the one that was in the depths of sin. But guess what? You're no longer that. But I begin to find that if we're going to make it past what we've always been tied to, we've got to get a hold of a blessing that is bigger than the past. He says, and Paul says this, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What Paul was beginning to write to those that were at Corinth, he said, don't you forget that this used to be your name, but there happened to be something that came in that was a blessing that began to defy and was bigger than your past. Because now, today, as you begin to walk into the house of God, your name may still be Brother Jason Pepper, but that's no longer who you are. That's no longer how you live. That's no longer where you dwell. Yeah, I can't change my name, but I can definitely change my destination. I can change where God wants me to be. So as Jabez began to pray, he began to understand that there has to be a blessing bigger than what I've been dragging around. And he says, God bless me, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. We've dealt with kids that have had drug problems. We still have a ministry to CCDC. It's shut down right now because of COVID. But as soon as that lifts, Brother Rick will be going back up there on Tuesday evenings. For years, we had a Sunday afternoon service out there. And we dealt with individuals that had something that defined them. And sometimes what defined them wasn't necessarily their fault, but they hadn't found anything that was bigger than what defined them. He said, Brother Jason, this is a weird message to be preaching in a church full of saved people. I'm going somewhere with this. And in dealing with those kids, their focus was always on what defined them. It always was. Whether it was drugs, alcohol, mom, dad, or drug addict, whatever it was, they always focused on what defined them. Growing up in church as a preacher's kid, and I want to preach to those that grow up in church, it's easy to not have to focus on what defines you. Because generally, we just blend in. And a lot of times the struggles that we have as preachers' kids and kids that grow up in church, we get to hide those because we're always in church. And we're floating underneath a name that has already established itself. And because you float underneath a name that has already established itself, you can just float along and never deal with the issues that are defining your life. You can float along under the guise that you're a Christian and part of Calvary Lighthouse Church and never deal with the issues that are going on outside of these doors in your personal life. But I want to tell you something. Sooner or later, you won't be able to hide any longer. Sooner or later, what is currently shaping and defining you that you're not dealing with is going to evidence itself in a time and a place that you don't want to see it. So I'm coming to you tonight preaching that what's defining you, there's something bigger than that. We've dealt with those, though, that they've never darkened the doors of a church. Mom and Dad used to have people, and they'd come live with us. And I know that's kind of a foreign concept anymore, but remember we had old Calvin Bryant, and he lived with us for a while. And he was a drug addict and a pothead, and he was trying to get clean, and Mom and Dad was trying to help him. And I remember we get to ride. We were little kids then. We'd ride. But like Good Hope Church was 7 minutes from our house, and we'd ride home with him, and we listened to the blues, you know. We thought it was just cool riding around with Calvin, you know. I don't know how old he was. He had to be, what, mid-20s, I'm guessing, probably somewhere in there. And we're like, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, you know. We just thought he was cool. Now looking back, I understand that he was dealing with something that defined who he was. And the sad thing about it is, he has never got past what has always defined him. What I begin to find is that Jabez wanted to get past what defined him. What I begin to find is that while the blessing is a little bit different today, the blessing is still there. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," wow, that's a lot of blessing going on, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Well, that's exciting. There's just blessings all around. Just blessings galore when you're serving God. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Guess what? God knew who you were. He knew what was going to define you before you ever made your entrance into this world. He already knew you was going to be Jason Titus Pepper before Jason Titus Pepper ever entered this world. He knew each and every one of us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He said, well, if God knew when we're going to come into this world, who we were going to be, why didn't he just go ahead and make us perfect, Brother Larry, to start with? It doesn't work that way. Because God also made us his creation in his image with a choice. That's what separates you from all the rest of creation, amongst other things, but that's the main thing. You have choice. There isn't any other creation that has a choice. You know when the birds sing? They don't have a choice, Brother Larry, what song they're going to sing. They're automatically praising God. Trees, grass, none of that. It's all subject to the seasons. It don't have a choice. It praises God all the time. But human beings, we were created to have a choice because God wanted an intellectual relationship with him. You think, well, if God's God and everybody sings his praises, why would he want to create somebody that can think like him? Do you ever think that maybe God sometimes enjoys a challenge? Sure, I've been one. Now, what I begin to find is that he created us with a choice. And while he knew us and hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, he also knew that we would have a choice, and he also knew that each and every one of us would be born into different circumstances in life. I'm thankful that I was born into a godly household. I'm thankful that my parents drugged me to church even when I maybe didn't want to go to church. I'm thankful for all the things that they protected me from. But you know what? I also understand some young people haven't had that opportunity. Some young people haven't been protected like that. Some young people haven't had the love that I have received. But what I also find is we have all had to make a choice. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. What would this is starting to sound like family. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Okay, so we have adoption, and then we have glory of grace. We have grace, and now we have acceptance. What are we getting accepted into? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have adoption. We have grace. We have acceptance. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. Why? Because of grace. You know what? This is beginning to paint a picture of a societal change. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We're visiting at the lunch table today, and we were talking about teenagers and how sometimes some of us have to learn things the hard way. Do you know that when God deals with you, he would love to deal with you and everything go easy? But he also knows our personalities, he knows our character, and he knows that sometimes we're just not going to learn things the easy way. He deals with us in wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What's God's will? What is God's will? Well, just jump back. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. What's God's will? God's will is for you to take his name. That's what God's will is. God's will is for you to begin to abide in his family. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Wow! That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Oh, here it goes. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Can I tell you something? This is the promise that's bigger than the name. Can I tell you that if you haven't experienced this promise, if you can't point to a time in which you knew that you laid down your name of the past and you took up the name of the future, when he reached down and he began to save your soul, he wiped the sin out of your life, he began to change the pattern that you were walking on. If you can't point to a time in which God did that for you, you haven't had the experience. But what I begin to find is that as you begin to walk this road, and as you begin to live in this family, and as you begin to draw close to Christ, there are times in which you forget whose name you're now part of. And you revert back to the name in which you used to be called. And it's in times like that that we begin to find that we need God more than anything. We need a Savior more than anything. But it's in times like that that we've got to begin to become real with ourselves and understand that I've reverted back, Brother Timmy, to that name by which I used to be called. I've reverted back to that person that I used to be. I'm beginning to struggle with those same things that I used to struggle with. Can I tell you, that's not part of the walk of Jesus Christ. That's not part of the family of Jesus Christ. That's not part of the name of Jesus Christ. And what we got to begin to do is, like Jabez, we got to begin to get down at an altar and we got to begin to call out to God and we got to begin to say, God, I need a blessing. God, I need revival. God, I need something that I used to have that all of a sudden I don't have it no more. Jabez said, I can't be known as the man of sorrow for the rest of my life. I can't be tied to what I didn't have anything to do with. But God, I need something bigger. I need something better. I need something greater. I want to be called Jabez, but not because of sorrow. I want to be called Jabez because I've been blessed of God. Hallelujah. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What you felt this morning is the earnest of the inheritance. When you begin to feel like you're no longer part of the family, you've got to go back and you've got to revisit the earnest. You know, I've never been adopted. Don't understand really what it's like not to have a family. We have somebody sitting here, though, that does. Grant, what's it feel like to know that you got a nice home to go to tonight? Feels amazing. And when you get down, I'm pick on you just a little bit, but you're good for it. We bumped into some people last night. They knew it. They knew who you used to be. And as I sat there with you, you did well. You're polite. You're cordial. Explained who you was with. And they didn't understand it. Not at all. The only thing they knew was the old grand. But there's going to come a time, son, you keep walking in what you're walking in. The name you carry now is going to be bigger than the name you used to have. As God calls us to begin to walk in His kingdom, He calls you to a name that's going to be bigger and better when it's over with than what you started. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. When I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling lost, when I just don't really feel like I have the victory, and I know that I should have the victory, I've got to go visit where that earnest is held. Hey, does anybody know what earnest is? I may be preaching a terminology that we may not all be familiar with. You know what earnest money is? It's like a down payment. It's what you put up in order to hold something. Or, as in an inheritance, they give you a lump sum of money up front, and then the rest will be distributed throughout whatever time frame is agreed upon. And that while you can't touch the full inheritance, you can always get the earnest whenever you want it. The Holy Ghost. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know what that is? That's the earnest of your inheritance. So when you're feeling like you're less than victorious, where do you got to go get another draw from? You got to go to the Holy Ghost, church. You got to go visit the Holy Ghost to begin to understand that the name you have now is bigger than the name that you used to have. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Well, you know, we don't know a lot about Jabez. We don't know a lot about what happened after he prayed that prayer, other than the fact that it says God granted his request. But if you back up two chapters there in the end of that genealogy, and you read down all the way to the bottom, you're going to begin to find that a group of scribes dwelt in Jabez. No, it wasn't Jabez personally. The town of Jabez. Can I tell you something? What the blessing that you have in Jesus Christ far supersedes anything that used to define you. Anything, church. Anything. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. The worst kind. He killed Christians. Men, women, children. But the grace of God. He got a whole name change. Hey, you ever thought about that? Saul was so bad. He had to get a whole name change. But he began to become known as Paul. And the blessing that he got defined who he became. When you hear the name Paul, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? Paul the Apostle. Penning the letters to the church. Church starter, church establisher. Three missionary trips. Shipwrecked on Miletus. Snake bit. Beaten. Thrown in jail. Oh, my favorite, Paul and Silas. Yeah, we know who Paul used to be. We don't dwell on that, do we? Because the blessing far superseded what the name used to dictate. I've come to tell somebody tonight, as Sister Lindsay's coming back to the piano, I've come to tell somebody tonight that whatever name you feel is hanging over your head, there's a blessing that's going to far supersede that. I'm going to tell you this, if you're a young person and you're struggling, you've been in this thing a long time, and there's struggles that you have going on in your lives that nobody even knows about, I want to tell you something. There's a blessing that far outweighs the struggle. There's a blessing to be found in Christ that far supersedes whatever name is trying to define your life right now. And I want to encourage you tonight as you're standing to your feet all across this place that the blessing is yours. Somebody say the blessing is mine. Say it again. The blessing is mine. Amen. Gather in these altars this evening. Let's have us a time of prayer. God desires to give you something that far supersedes what you've been tied to.